98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:05. It's Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Tuesday, the 24th of February. We thank you for joining us this morning. It's a wet one today. Rain, you get to the upper Hood River Valley, apparently a decent amount of snow. I don't necessarily have any numbers to back that up, but I can tell you I went to tripcheck.com, and as of an hour ago, it was still chains and traction tires required at Highway 35 at Parkdale. Carry them from Hood River, but at Parkdale, it's chains and track tires required. They did have the snowpack breaking up there as of a little while ago. That was about an hour ago, actually, their last update from there. Really no other big road condition news to bring you on that, except for Highway 197, the Dalles and Maupin, there's reports of spots of ice there. Other than that, it wasn't exactly a busy road report day. It was mostly rain, bare pavement. You know, always carry change of traction tires around here at this time of year. You know, I just got to thinking, I need to make my appointment for getting my winter tires off. You know, I've got it now down on my list. Need to do that today. Not get them off today, but get the appointment so in March I know I will get them off. Rather than have to some inconvenient time, make a time where it's convenient for me, which is difficult to do, because you're also guessing. Of course, I probably didn't need them at all, the way that most of this year has gone. This blast has been helpful, I know. I have not gotten the update, not checked today. Yesterday I checked, it was 37% for the Hood, Sandy, Deschutes Basin of normal snowpack. Actual precipitation to date was 98%. I'm going to point out Matt Warbritton from the Natural Resources Conservation Service Oregon Snow Survey is going to join us on Monday on the show. And we'll talk about where we're at, you know, what the prospects are for the last few weeks of the potential snow season, because March is a potential. And this is helping what we're getting, but there's no miracle here. And so we'll talk about where we're at. We'll talk about water for irrigation a little later on down the road, because it is going to be a very important topic. Well, today, second half of the show, the mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, joins us. Last night, the Dalles City Council, they passed their employment opportunities analysis and employment buildable lands inventory, which they have not done since 2007. They didn't do it 3 years ago because many on the city council at the time felt like there were lands being counted as that were available for buildable, but were held by Google, and they really weren't buildable because Google had plans for them and they have begun doing stuff on them. That's not the case in this plan. This gets back to efforts to expand the urban growth boundary and what you're going to have to prove to the Columbia River Gorge Commission. So we'll talk to Rich about that. Also, City Council set their work goals for the next couple of years last night. So we'll talk about those things with him. First part of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about Oregon State football, which might seem odd right now, but there was news in that front yesterday. As you probably know, they aren't going to play in 2026. They're not going to play in 2027 now either, so we'll talk about that a little bit and maybe whether they should play at all. I have a different opinion than one that was advanced by an Oregonian Oregon Live sports columnist today. A far different opinion. But we'll get to that later. First, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1803, this landmark Marbury versus Madison decision, the U.S. Supreme Court established judicial review of the constitutionality of laws and statutes. 1868, the U.S. House on this date impeached President Andrew Johnson by a vote of 126-47 following his attempted dismissal of Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. Johnson was later acquitted by the Senate by a single vote. 1942, the SS Struma, a charter ship attempting to carry nearly 800 Jewish refugees from Romania to British-mandated Palestine, was torpedoed by a Soviet submarine in the Black Sea. All but one of the refugees died. 1981, a jury in White Plains, New York, found Gene Harris guilty of second-degree murder in the fatal shooting of Scarsdale Diet author Dr. Herman Tarnauer. Sentenced to 15 years to life in prison, Harris was granted clemency by New York Governor Mario Cuomo in December 1992. 1991, the U.S. began ground operations in the Gulf War, entering Iraqi-held Kuwait. 1988, in a ruling that expanded legal protections for parody and satire, the Supreme Court unanimously overturned a $200,000 award that the Reverend Jerry Falwell had won against Hustler magazine and its publisher Larry Flint. 2008, Cuba's parliament named Raul Castro president, ending nearly 50 years of rule by his brother Fidel. 2011, Discovery, the world's most traveled spaceship, thundered into orbit for the final time, heading toward the International Space Station on a journey marking the beginning of the end of the shuttle era. And in 2022, on this day, Russia began a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, launching airstrikes on cities and military bases and sending troops and tanks from multiple directions. And here we are 4 years later. Days for today, it's World Bartender Day. So I guess we're saluting the bartenders out there. It is World Spay Day today. And of course, the importance of getting your pet spayed or neutered, depending on the gender, obviously, of the pet, to prevent unwanted pets out there. And it's also National Trading Card Day. Of course, I think immediately baseball cards, but I've also got some hockey cards and a few basketball and football still hanging around. And there are people who collect all sorts of different types of cards. But it's National Trading Card Day. See, what's happened, though, is they become too upscale, like so many things in our life. Way too upscale. And, you know, baseball cards really... Yeah, again, when I got them as a kid, when I got into them, they were in wax packs with a stick of basically leftover bazooka gum made into a stick with powdered sugar on it. Yeah, if you ever had this gum, you remember it was dry. It was, like I said, I think it was the leftover scrapings from the bazooka barrel the Tops used to put gum in these. They weren't glossy. They were, you know, they were just kind of a, not quite cardboard stock, but they weren't meant to be glossy or valuable. I have a lot of cards from that era. They're fairly valuable now. I probably should cash them in. I might have enough of important ones that I could maybe cash them in and not do this anymore. I really need to look into that. They're stored away. It's not like I'm getting them out all the time. They would be difficult to let go of, though. They would be. The other thing today for food today, it's a personal favorite of mine, it's National Tortilla Chip Day today. I'm surprised it's not Salsa Day to add in there. Or Guacamole Day for those of you who like guacamole. I'd rather have the salsa. But it's Tortilla Chip Day. I'll just say support your local tortilla chip maker. We do have a good one. So there it is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:14 in the morning, we'll come back. We will chatter about a couple things here. We have a little open spot in the show. The Dallas Mayor, Rich May, is coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes as Mid-Columbia Today continues after this.
Do you want someone you can trust to do your auto body work, collision repair, or new paint job? Of course you do. So don't go to a franchise. Go to Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge is an authorized dealer of Rhino Lining spray-on protected bed liners. We're family-owned and have been in business since 1969. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. 621 East 2nd Street, downtown The Downs. 296-9170. JacksBodyShop.net. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles basketball. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles basketball all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpet, XTC Truck and Toy, Columbia River Insurance, and A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
The Eagle boys and girls host Putnam Tuesday at 5:30 on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM, and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:17 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Back with you on this Tuesday morning. Again, Mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, will join us a little after the bottom of the hour. Hood River County School District, 2-hour delay today. Again, it's mainly because of the Upper Valley. And Mid-Columbia Christian Schools on a 2-hour delay because Hood River is. And those are the only delays we've got this morning, mainly because it sounds like the Parkdale area did get a pretty good amount of snow. That's why we're at where we're at. I'll mention a couple things here, kind of fundraising things that I come across my desk here in the last 24 hours. That didn't really have time because of the time they're on here to really do much with, but we have a chance to mention them here. The Community Roots Wellness Hub in White Salmon, WACAP's involved in this. They are doing a small amount of fundraising for it this week to help make the hub beautiful. It's where organizations come together to increase mental health access in Klickitat County, and they have a fairly small goal here. They're just trying to raise $1,200 by the end of the week. And they've got on the sheet, I've got like one of those QR codes, so I don't know how to quite to get you here. But you can email them at communityroots@wagap.org. You can also probably go to wagap.org online and work your way to the fundraising for this. Okay, they're not raising a lot here, $1,200. But they like to do it by the end of the week, so we'll mention that. Also, on Thursday of this week, Columbia Gorge Community College is doing Cans for Canines. Help PTK support Hood River in giving a dog a forever home. They're looking for cans and bottles in this case. And you can donate them in Hood River at the Hood River CGCC campus by the fireplace, which I assume is inside the building there. For those of you who aren't familiar, that's down adjacent to the Rosario Shopping Center across Tucker Road from there. And in the Dalles campus, Building 3 Student Services, they will take cans. Of course, we should note, I know Columbia Gorge Humane Society, for their shelter in the Dalles, still takes cans and bottles as well. But I'm always, as you know, a big supporter of helping out our puppies. I have given a puppy a home. Our little... We were told, by the way, I missed the last couple of training sessions that we were taking, my wife and I, with our little, you know, 5-pound toy poodle. Went very small. And apparently my wife got told, I missed the last couple, I've had this cold I've been nursing, trying to get over finally. And apparently my dog's a thinker, is how she's being described. I do tend to get smart dogs. I'm not sure how I'm on this path here. Sometimes too smart for my own good. But because she just doesn't just take treats from people. She if it's somebody that she doesn't know, if it's not me or my wife, she will sniff and kind of think about it some. But apparently she's a thinker, which I suppose is a good thing. I just never quite thought about it in that terms. The little puppy's nearing 6 months old here soon. Yeah, we're going. I'm going through. It's not supposed to train the dog. It's training you. And I'm a soft touch, as you probably have figured out. And when it comes to a dog, I pretty much am a softie. Yeah, people. Yeah, fine, whatever. But dogs, you know, puppies. I am absolutely 100%. And quite frankly, I am a softie for cats, too, even though I'm more of a dog person. I'm an animal person. I am. I like watching the squirrels out the window when I'm working. I do. But anyway, what else was I going to get to here? I thought about talking about the Oregon legislature and decided I just didn't want to. Jeff Helfrich will be with us Friday. I'm just to the point of I just don't care. I'm just to the point where I'm so sick of partisan gamesmanship. I'm tired of it. I want people who will represent districts, not represent political parties. I'm tired of both of them. Neither of them are very redeemable to me at this point. By the way, I don't know if you caught this. When the city of Hood River got their latest survey results on the bond measures they're considering and what to go after, it had a breakdown in the city of Hood River of registration by political party. It probably will not surprise you Democrat was top of the list. In fact, I doubt it'll surprise you that number two was non-affiliated and growing. What may shock you is how low registered Republicans were in this. 14%, according to the study that was done, 14% Hood River registered voters are registered Republican. That's it. I mean, you're starting to get toward minor party territory at that point. Now, I think more and more people are just going NA. I went that years ago. I'm really not trying to make a value judgment here, by the way. It's more, and we're talking the city of Hood River, by the way. Hood River County, those numbers would change. But that's a shocking number of a place that has some population. 14%, that's it. And that did kind of stop me in my tracks a little bit. That was something interesting to me. I do think in this state that the non-affiliated are going to bypass Republicans and Democrats here very soon. I think that's just charging along. But anyway, a little less serious. I mentioned this, so I should get to this. I only got a few more minutes before we do the news. Oregonian Oregon Live reported yesterday. We already knew Oregon and Oregon State were not going to play football next year for the first time since 1944. We knew that already when the Pac-12 disintegrated. Oregon went off to the Big Ten and the mega conferences. Oregon State was left to put the pieces back together to create what they're going to call the Pac-12. So they knew next year wasn't going to happen. Well, now OSU Athletic Director Scott Barnes came out yesterday to the Oregonian and said, it's not happening in 2027 either, that OSU can't do it. So apparently we've gone from, they were negotiating a potential six-year home-and-home deal. Now they're thinking about a shorter series beginning in 2028. Oregon State would host Oregon in 28, then they go to Autzen Stadium in 2029. Bill Oram, who is the columnist for the Oregonian, Oregon Live, the successor to John Canzano, wrote a column basically decrying how can Oregon not have this football game. I've got two pieces of example of why maybe we shouldn't play it. 2024, first year after the Pac-12 collapse, Oregon 49, Oregon State 14. Last year, Oregon 41, Oregon State 7. These games were not compelling. They were not the old rivalry. They were not. They played them in September, which changes it completely. And you have two schools, I think they're now playing a different game. And this isn't good, by the way. I'm not saying good or bad here for either school. It's not good at all. College football is trying to wreck itself, as far as I'm concerned, and doing a pretty darn good job of it. Because destroying regionality is part of what will, eventually we seem to be headed for. Eventually, Oregon will be part of a group of about 30 schools. They'll be the NFL junior varsity, and they'll play basically an NFL schedule. They'll only play among themselves because that's what Fox and ESPN want. They're only interested in schools that bring X millions of viewers to the table. Everybody else is filler. And Oregon is getting substantially more revenue than Oregon State. Substantially more. Every year. They're not on the same plane anymore. You know, I feel the same way about Washington State. It seems closer there, but I suspect it will continue to spread as time goes on. It makes me wonder, for those of us who have lived here basically all our lives, Ducks Beavers was always on the calendar. It was the biggest game because in many ways it was the only game that mattered to us because it was the only game we could compete with somebody against. Either way, for those of you who remember the 70s and early 80s of college football in this state. It changed the mid-90s. Oregon, then Oregon State, became relevant again. And now we've seen, of course, what has occurred in the last couple of years with college football. Now you can continue basketball, no problem. Baseball, absolutely. Softball, absolutely. There's plenty of places where you can continue this rivalry and they can compete with each other fine. I'm just not sure you can do it in this, with the NIL era and the gap in money that's available. Maybe we don't need to bring it back. Maybe this just shouldn't happen. For Oregon, it's a no-win game. It is. They win like they did the last 2 years. Yeah, fine, whatever. Oregon State's not in. It doesn't move the needle as far as, you know, a ranking's concerned or anything. And trying to get to the CFP. For Oregon State, there's a lot more that you can gain from it if you can beat Oregon. So I think it would be Oregon State would be the one trying to keep it going. And I think also there's more to gain financially. But is there going to be enough of opportunity for this to be competitive to continue it? I think there are those of us nostalgically who want it back from a nostalgia standpoint. But I'll be honest, I don't remember one thing about the game last year. Not a thing about it. I'm not even sure I even watched it. Because it was an uncompelling game on, frankly, an uncompelling Oregon football schedule for most of the season. And I'm just not sure that we should be trying to bring it back. I'm kind of at that point. I mean, from a nostalgia standpoint, I get it. I grew up with it too, but it's not the same. It will never be the same again, no matter how much we wish for it to be. Unless there's suddenly an epiphany in college football and everybody goes back to what it was. And that's not going to occur. Anyway, we'll see if they do bring it back in 2028. I'm wondering here. I don't know who's bringing it. I mean, I don't think there's that much pressure to bear on this. If it's from the Oregon legislature, they got some other things to do, may I suggest. Anyway, bomb of the hour. News is next. We'll keep on going. Mayor of the Downs, Rich May, is coming up in a few minutes.
This month, Pure Talk is honoring Jackson and Lincoln by offering unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month. Meanwhile, Big Wireless is honoring Benjamin Franklin by charging families hundreds of dollars for the same 5G service. What's up with that? Ben Franklin wasn't even a president. When you switch to Pure Talk, you'll be in business with an American wireless company that supports our vets in a big way and keeps all their customer service in this country. That's important. And you'll be on the same towers the big carriers use, so you'll get the same 5G service without the inflated price. So hang on to your Benjamins and switch to Pure Talk for a Jackson and a Lincoln. No contract, no hidden fees. Dial #250, say Mike Rowe, and you'll get 50% off your first month when you switch. That's #250, Mike Rowe, for an American wireless company that is truly unprecedented. Pure Talk.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living. As a new year begins, it's a natural time to think about comfort, care, and the next step for those you love. We currently have availability, including two spacious one-bedroom apartments and one beautiful studio apartment. Located in the outdoor paradise of Hood River, Hawks Ridge offers four levels of assisted living care that support independence while providing peace of mind. We'd love to welcome your friends, clients, or loved ones home. Hawks Ridge, your new home in the new year.
Parents, tired of conversations that go nowhere?
How was your day?
Fun.
With conversation starters from parenting.org, you can turn fine into fun.
What was the funniest thing that happened today?
I was sitting next to Piper at lunch, and she had this, like, chicken fish patty thing.
Text Convo to 51550 for weekly conversation starters from silly to serious. And connect more with parenting.org from Boys Town.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
#8:32 in the morning, checking the news. The Dallas City Council adopted an employment opportunities analysis and employment buildable lands inventory. It's the first update to the analysis since 2007, with an attempt 3 years ago having gone without adoption because lands held by Google are being considered as available and buildable under Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development standards. That is changed in this report, which shows there are 204 acres of buildable lands available for industrial growth, but consultant Matt Hasty points out there's a deficit of needed sites for the next 20 years in all categories. Hood River County School District appointing current Cascade Locks Elementary School principal Adrian Acosta to become principal at May Street Elementary effective on the 1st of July. Acosta has served as the principal of Cascade Locks Elementary for the past 6 years. Current interim May Street principal Dan Barnard will become the school's vice principal. Cascade Locks will transition to a half-time principal, half-time specialist leadership model next school year. The district beginning a recruitment model for the hybrid role immediately. An atmospheric river aimed at Northwest Oregon brought plenty of fresh powder to Mount Hood on Monday. Mount Hood Meadows had picked up a foot of fresh powder after receiving a healthy amount on Saturday as well. The snow on Mount Hood beneficial to helping make a dent in the meager snowpack that remains in place as of late February. The latest numbers from the Natural Resources Conservation Service Oregon Snow Survey had the Hood, Sandy, and Lower Deschutes Basin snowpack at just 37% of normal heading in to Monday. Republicans began boycotting the House floor Monday afternoon, shortly after the Oregon Senate sent their chamber a controversial bill that reschedule referendum on transportation tax and fee increases from November to May. House is supposed to get back into session at 10:30 this morning. Current temperatures, 37 in Stevenson, 36 in the Dalles, and 36 in Hood River. Mid-Columbia Mornings Time, 8:34.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. You know those tall Sprinter vans that look like they could secretly double as apartments? Yeah, we work on those, and we know them really well. Whether it's your adventure rig, work van, or mystery mobile full of camping gear and snacks from 2022, we've got you covered. We're now just 10 minutes up the hill in our great new location in Hood River. Come see us! From Mercedes and Ford, big rigs to Sprinters, no jobs too big or small. At Del Carpine, we work on them all.
Family owned and locally trusted.
Hi, this is Dr. Stanley with Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center. Do you have shoulder pain, stiffness, and loss of motion, and have been referred out of town for a total shoulder replacement? For over 20 years, I've been performing total shoulder replacements right here in the Gorge. These include standard, reverse, and the new high-performance hybrids for our high-level athletes. If you'd like a local option, visit cosmc.org or call 541-296-2294 to schedule a visit.
I am Imelda Padilla. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, and a proud member of this community. Being part of Skyline Health, both on the hospital and the foundation board, allows me to support the health care that this community needs to keep us strong. That's why I am committed to supporting Skyline, not just as a patient, but as a board member. This hospital makes our community stronger and healthier every day. I am Skyline.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Rain is likely today. Highs in the mid-40s. East wind 10 miles per hour. More rain tonight. Maybe a little snow in the upper valley. Low temperatures should be in the 30s.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by the mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark.
And last night, the Dalles City Council met, and one of the things it did was adopted something that's been discussed for quite a while. An employment opportunities analysis and employment buildable lands inventory. And the report found while there are 204 acres of buildable lands available for industrial growth, there's a deficit, though, of needed sites in all categories for the next 20 years. And I think, Rich, probably that conclusion hardly surprised anyone, did it?
No, this is a continuation of what we went through in 2022 when this whole issue came up. And people may recall that, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago when this came up, that the consultant who was presenting a report consistent with guidelines set forth by the Department of Land Conservation and Development showed that Google, even though Google owned property over there, that they considered that developable, even though it was bought and paid for and occupied to a certain extent by Google. But again, the consultant maintained that they had to do that consistent with the guidelines by DLCD. So here it is 4 years later, and the council did not adopt that report 3 or 4 years ago because of that very issue. They disagreed with that issue. So last night it came up again, and this time the property from Google was taken out of the inventory. And is now classified as being non-developable because it's occupied and under either under construction or about to be occupied by Google. So that makes the situation with our buildable lands inventory even worse than it was 4 years ago because we have less developable property available to develop. And, of course, as I brought up last night, that's an issue that goes right back to the Gorge Commission, and there are not allowing cities in the six-county area or the scenic area to be able to expand our urban growth boundary.
So if
we were able to expand that urban growth boundary, of course, we would have more developable land.
Which does bring up the question, now that you've got this inventory in hand and on the record, does that spark another effort to try to get a UGB expansion?
I don't think we've ever let go of the effort to expand our UGB over the last, say, 3 or 4 years. Even there was when they were redoing the management plan several years ago, we really hit it hard, and we just didn't have the votes on the Gorge Commission to make it happen. I think there was 13 members of the Gorge Commission. I think at best it was maybe 8-5, maybe 10-4, or 9-4, and we just didn't have the votes to be able to have the management plan reflect the fact that economic development is, in fact, a goal of the Scenic Act, which, you know, is in the Scenic Act passed in 1986. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, I don't think we've ever let go of that effort, and I think it's going to continue. And as long as I'm the mayor, I'm going to try and do what I can to see that it happens. I'm a little not as optimistic with the vote situation. I'm not sure that's changed much, but it's not going to dampen our enthusiasm to see it changed.
So given that backdrop and the reality of it, and plus it goes also beyond just getting the votes at the Gorge Commission level, there's also the issue of getting concurrence, all sorts of different issues, and that can vary depending on the outcome of an election this year or 2 years from now. But so as you address this, try to address this problem of making more land available for business growth, are there other options available here to try to create more sites?
Well, without an expansion of the urban growth boundary, that's very problematic. We do have, you know, individual sites. The port is pretty restricted in the number and the size of the sites that they have in the port area. And I'm looking around, as we look around the city, there are very, very, very few sites that are suitable for industrial commercial development. The sites that are available, and there aren't very many, are more suited and zoned for housing development. So there's a, you know, three of those that are maybe more than 5 acres where they can be developed for housing. But as far as commercial industrial development, it's not looking good. That's for sure.
Well, the other thing I noted from the report, which didn't really get discussed much, and understandably, because the acreage of buildable lands was the focal point here. But it did also mention it projected, I think it was over the next 20 years, that the city of the Dalles adding 550 jobs, which on the surface seems good, but they were mostly service jobs, and those, frankly, don't tend to be the higher-paying jobs. And that stood out to me. I imagine that's part and parcel, though, to the land issue.
Yeah, it is, and I think you're exactly right about that. Service jobs do not pay the same, but as long as we have a dearth of land available for commercial industrial development or the higher-paying jobs, that's a reality that we're going to be faced with. So we're trying, and we're going to try and get it changed. There's different ways to do that, but we're not going to give up.
And something was brought up by a business owner at the meeting, and it really wasn't necessarily about this inventory, but it was about trying to create a process to, I'm going to try to summarize this, and I may not do well, evaluate when you have a development applied for in the city to have some process to evaluate, is this good for the city? And you can probably go with a number of ways from this. I tend to think of, is the land being used to its most effectiveness for job creation, to create those better paying jobs? But you could also go infrastructure impact, which I think is already probably, you know, really covered in the various application processes. And it got some discussion. I mean, it really wasn't core to what was being discussed last night. But is that something the city needs to think about? I think this was referring back to the Walmart issue of a number of years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because when she brought when the speaker brought up this, she didn't mention Walmart, and she was talking about 2010, which was 8 years, 9 years before I was even mayor. I wasn't even in town in 2010. And I, for one, was kind of confused as to what are you talking about? And she finally said, I'm talking about the Walmart. Well, I think that we have a very capable staff, and I think that when there's any potential user that comes into town is interested in developing here in the Dalles, I think we have a very capable staff that's able to evaluate the pros and cons of that business, the advantages and disadvantages, the types of revenue that particular business might you know bring to the community, and the liabilities it might bring in. And you know, perfect example I think is the latest round of negotiations with Google. I think we had a very capable team together to be able to evaluate exactly what they were going to bring in, and the you know tangible and intangible effects on the community. So I think we have the mechanism in place to do exactly what she was suggesting now. Mm-hmm. Not to say that if something really complicated and complex comes, the city certainly and the county would certainly entertain the idea of bringing in a consultant to help us evaluate these kinds of situations. But, you know, we have enterprise zones. We have the strategic investment program. We've got urban renewal. We've got all these different programs. Sometimes it can get a little complicated. So I don't think anybody's opposed to bringing in a specialized consultant to help us through the process. I would just suggest that since I've been mayor, I don't think we've really needed that.
For me, I've always thought kind of the bar where you really as a government have to start to dig deep is when someone is asking for in some way or another some sort of relief from property taxes or some other financial consideration from the city. And I think the slippery slope would be, though, you don't want to become known as a place where everything gets micromanaged and overanalyzed and it locks up any economic development attempt, because I would think that's a slope you could end up going down.
Yeah, you know, we try to be transparent with this kind of stuff, and, you know, anytime somebody comes to town and would like a tax break, whatever, we've got this strategic investment program vehicle. I want to point out that the first three Google data centers did not pay property taxes because it was under an enterprise zone. But the latest two data centers that are going up, that have gone up very recently, are paying property taxes. And the very first Google facility that was negotiated 20 years ago is paying $5 million of full property taxes on that facility. So there's different ways to make things happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I answered your question, but there's you know, these things are all evaluated, and mm-hmm. whoever's you know, in the office at that time, or whoever the staff is at that time, I'm sure they all work together to try to figure things out and do what's best for the community. But it's all out there in public, and, you know, I'd like mm-hmm. to think that we have done real well with Google over the last 20 years.
Also approved last night was this, I believe it was, admittedly, I checked out after the land inventory, but city council goals for the next 2 years, I believe those got approved last night. You know, and oftentimes these things tend to, you know, they carry over from time period to time period, because not everything obviously gets done within the 2 years or whenever, however long you try to set a plan for. But as you look at the current strategic plan that is now before the council and now is the plan, anything maybe that's a little different or new that hasn't necessarily been front and center before?
Well, I think subject-wise, probably not. If it hasn't been specifically listed in previous plans, I just want to point out there's 126 of these goals for the strategic plan. 126 over 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think that number is pretty astounding, and I'm hopeful, of course, that we can address most all of these issues, but I think, to answer your question, the difference between this and the others is the sheer number mm-hmm. of goals that our staff has worked toward achieving over the next 3 years. 126 is a big number. 39 of those relate just to infrastructure. So, mm-hmm. And you know, that's certainly a big thing with the strategic plan.
Is 126, is that... Yeah, usually when we talk about goal setting, usually it tends to be a more of a, you know, like 10 or 12 overriding goals. And there can be a lot of things that subcategory underneath. I do wonder when I hear the number 126, while ambitious, I respect that, is that realistic?
Well, that's kind of like I was alluding to before, as our staff seems to think it's realistic. I'm a little skeptical. But we have a really capable staff. I'm very confident that they're in their ability to pull this off. Mm-hmm. And these aren't, you know, you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, general overriding goals. These aren't general overriding goals. These mm-hmm. are very specific, 126 specific tasks and goals over the next 3 years. Very, very specific, very concentrated on different areas: public relations, fiscal sustainability, safety, housing, economic mm-hmm. vitality, and workplace organization issues. All those are included, and they're all very specific. And I'm concerned and maybe a little skeptical that we're going to be able to do all 126 over 3 years. But, again, I have a lot of confidence in the staff, and I think the city council does as well.
When the word, though, I did see in there, when I did an overview of it in the packet, resiliency was a big word, and that has become a big governmental buzzword a bit here. Not saying because it's not for good reason, But developing resiliency, which I think in a lot of ways is the new word for redundancy in what you're able to deliver and the infrastructure, looked like to me was a big part of this.
Yeah, resiliency is usually connected with things that have something to do with economic development. For example, you want to encourage and promote goals that promote when something comes into town and is an addition to the city as far as economic development. You want to have it make it last over a period of time and not be, you know, kind of a flash in the pan type of development. So I think that's where, as far as resiliency goes, that is applied to economic development. It also can be applied to infrastructure. Whatever we do with infrastructure, we want to make sure it's something that lasts. I think a good indication of that was our recent water master plan, which deals with resiliency and what we're going to be doing with the dam, the reservoir, and the lines, the water lines that connect the water plant 7 miles southwest of the city to the rest of the city. And, of course, we're now faced with the wastewater master plan that's going to be coming up in 2026. So I think resiliency is a key word, as you brought up, but especially as it relates to economic development and infrastructure.
8:50 in the morning, our guest has been the mayor of the Dallas, Rich Mays, coming off last night's the Dallas City Council meeting. Rich, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Okay, Mark, we'll talk to you next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 8:51 in the morning. We'll continue on MCT right after this.
Straight Talk Wireless presents Pickup Truck Wisdom.
The smartest way to spend your money is not to. Straight Talk offers free 5G phones for new and existing customers on Verizon's 5G network. So the refund money I don't spend on that free phone is the refund money I get to keep for my family. Smart.
Find us at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless. Straightforward. Always. Taxes and fees apply. Plan purchase required for free phone offers. Copyright 2026 Verizon.
Hi, I'm Chef Franklin Becker. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. There's only one FDA-approved Ozempic, made by Novo Nordisk. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:53 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. A couple things going on. We'll note City of White Salmon has got an open house on its transmission main replacement Phase 2A project. And it's from 4 to 7 today. That'll be at the City Council Chambers on 119 Northeast Church in White Salmon. Also staying in Washington, Underwood Community Blood Drive is going to take place tomorrow, 12:30 to 5:30 at the Underwood Community Center. For an appointment for that, go to underwoodcommunity.org. Also, we'll note Hooter Valley High School Theater Department presenting The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie on Friday and Saturday night at 7, Saturday at 2 also. That's at the Bowl Theater, HRVHS. Tickets are $20 for adults, $15 students and seniors. Gorge Rebuild It Center has got their 2026 Reset Volunteer Day, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning at the center on 995 Tucker Road. They'll provide food and drinks. No experience needed to sign up. Go to the Gorge Rebuild It Facebook page. Also, the Dallas Wasco County Library is hosting a Dr. Seuss birthday party from 1 to 3 on Saturday at the library. Fun for all ages, joining for rhymes, for snacks, and for fun.
And also, my journey to Hood River. Local residents describe their path to Hood River County in an open mic event. Each storyteller will have 5 minutes to share their journey. 2 o'clock on Saturday, that's at the Hood River Library. So that's some of what's going on in our area as we are nearing 8:55 in the morning. We're going to take our last break, come back, and we will take a look at what's coming up on the show tomorrow right after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:56 in the morning. On the show tomorrow, Washington State 17th District State Representative Kevin Waters of Stevenson will join us on the show from Olympia. And Jennifer Pauletto and Juan Reyes from Washington Gorge Action Programs will be here. Thursday, Leah Hall, Columbia Gorge Food Bank. They're about to do, I think this is their third year of this, the Great Gorge Melt. It started out with grilled cheese sandwiches at restaurants. And now it's kind of evolved into pick your melted cheese dish. Let's face it. Melted cheese stuff is good stuff. It almost always is. But it's for a good cause, to benefit the Columbia Gorge Food Bank. We'll talk to Leah about that. Also good to talk Columbia Gorge Community College on Thursday. Friday, Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich is scheduled to be with us. Plus, we'll talk Central Gorge Master Gardeners. Monday, Matt Warbritton is going to join us from the Natural Resources Conservation Service Oregon Snow Survey. We'll talk about where the snowpack is at that point. We are supposed to get some more snow in the mountains into Wednesday, and then apparently the forecast is calling for, if I can dig it out of here, a drier pattern for the second half of the week. So we'll find out how much we've salvaged out of this with this last little flurry here we just had. So that is scheduled on Monday, first half of the show. Well, that should be a very good topic to discuss. Because irrigation water may become an issue here. I did find it interesting, and I need to be able to interpret this. You have to have the experts in this field. But I did go on the NRCS site yesterday, the 37% going into yesterday snowpack level. 37% of normal, which obviously isn't good for the Hood, Sandy, and Deschutes Basin. Precipitation to date was 98%. Okay, so what does that mean? What can we do? What do these numbers mean? What does this mean for the outlook this summer? This, of course, impacts our wildfire outlook, which this does not help. Because you want, you know, obviously more moisture. And we don't have it. But we will talk to somebody who knows. We'll also talk to some other people down the road, too. I think we're going to do this with Hood River Watershed Group with Cindy Thieman. I think we're going to get with her, some of the irrigation district folks, at least in the Hood River area, and get an idea of what they're planning for. But it is going to be a topic that we will be addressing here because it has not been a snow year, without any question. Well, the lower snow falls on record. But we're done. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.